Amen. Okay, take your Bibles first thing and open up to Luke 24. Luke 24. And welcome back to Joan and Bill, and welcome back to Jamie. Thank you so much for bringing wonderful southern weather back with you, and we really appreciate it. All right, Luke 24, verse 27. We kind of looked at this verse in the beginning, but what is important about this study of the tabernacle? It says in verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he," meaning Jesus, "expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Okay? At the time that this was written, when Luke says all the scriptures, what is he talking about? The Old Testament, okay? There was no other books, okay? So Jesus is explaining to the two disciples on the road to the Emmaus all the things concerning himself, okay? All the scriptures. And some of those scriptures are, I'm sure, the tabernacle. And we saw how the tabernacle is a picture of the Lord Jesus. And how many chapters, who remembers, how many chapters in the Old Testament deal with creation? Two. How many deal with the tabernacle? 50. Okay? So, there's a lot. Okay? So, it must be important if there's that much, that volume about it. So, what can we learn from it? Turn to Colossians. Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Some people remember that "go eat popcorn." I remembered "Gentiles eat pork chops." So that's how I remembered it. That's more biblical than "go eat popcorn." So anyway. Colossians 2, 14 to 17 says, and again, this is those types, this is those shadows and whatnot. Colossians 2, starting in 14, says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are," what's the next phrase? "A shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." So again, we've used this terminology before, but the tabernacle is like a shadow, okay, of Christ. A shadow isn't the very image, but it is a shadow of the very image. Just like when you're walking and the sun is behind you and you see your shadow, and you know, you can make out certain details, but not fine details, okay? And one more to look at before we get back into our study. Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect." And again, a shadow of things. So these things are shadows, in particular, shadows and pictures of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So what we're going to do today is we're actually going to begin to look at the tabernacle itself. Remember, we're in the courtyard, okay? And we've already seen the gate going into the courtyard. We've already seen the altar, the brazen altar. We've already seen the bronze laver. The altar was where the children of Israel would bring their sacrifice, and that was as far as they could go. And then the laver was where the priests would wash themselves, and even before they went into the tabernacle. So today we're going to learn a little bit about the tabernacle. Okay? What do we learn? The priest entered the tabernacle through the curtains at the entrance. Okay? And we'll learn a little bit about all the different coverings here in a minute. But the priests entered the tabernacle through the curtains at the entrance. And the tabernacle was divided into two sections, the holy place and the most holy place, sometimes called the Holy of Holies. Okay? So you have the holy place and the most holy place. And the tabernacle was made of goat's hair covering with a linen covering beneath. So if you were to walk in, the very first covering, now the frame is up, okay, the frame is made of shittim wood and covered with gold. And once all that is up, a linen covering was put on. Then on top of that, there was a covering of goat's hair, okay? What was plentiful in the Middle East? Goats, okay? And what kind of temperatures are usually in the Middle East also? Very hot. So what do you want to keep out? Heat, the sun too, okay? So think about this, you know, also for that reason, okay? Ram's skin covering dyed red and badger skin covering, okay? There is great and good debate on what the badger is. We really don't know. I mean, don't think of the badger. What college team is the Badgers? Wisconsin? Don't think a North American badger, okay? Don't think that, because it wouldn't be in the Middle East, right? But we don't know for sure what the badgers were, okay? Some, I don't necessarily go into this camp, but some think it was like some type of a sea creature, like a porpoise or a seal, to make it waterproof. I don't know, okay? I don't know. I think some of the more modern translations use those words as well, but we really don't know. So there were 48 boards, 100 sockets. That's the footings like that the boards set in. Okay, four under the pillars of the veil, and the tabernacle again. It was made of bars, pillars, hooks, curtains at the entrance. And it was 30 cubits long, 10 cubits wide, 10 cubits high. Okay? 45 feet long. I did some measuring and found pretty interesting. From about the back pew to the baptistry is 45 foot. And this is about 15 foot wide. And from here to the baptistry is 15 foot. So, just to get a visual, the holy place would have been about the size of these center pews, and the Holy of Holies would have been about the size of the platform to the baptistry, give or take, okay? So visually, that's about how big it was, and 15 foot high. I think I measured we were 12 foot high at the side, so maybe the center, okay? It's pretty high. I don't know why it had to be that high, but... you know, but it was, okay? So that's about the size of it. And all of the details, we're not going to read it. We'll read some of it as we go through. But all of the details for the tabernacle itself are found in Exodus 25 and 26, okay? All of the, you know, the sizes and the amounts and things like that, okay? All right, any questions, comments, thoughts? Clear as mud? Okay. So, again, it's 30 cubits by 10 cubits. Okay? Oh! Hold that thought. Right? This was from the Ark? The Creation Museum? Okay? These are the biblical measurements. Okay? This is a cubit. It's about, well, not me, but a normal person's fingertip to elbow. Okay? And this is a cubit, and then there's a hand span. There's all different, you know, all different kinds and how they measured things in those days. They didn't have rulers, okay? So So it was 30 of these, okay? So, which is about 45 foot. So that's kind of the visual with the whole courtyard, okay? And what did the courtyard do? Kept what? Kept the people out and the animals out and things like that that weren't supposed to go in there. There was a one way in. There's where the sacrifices were done by the priest for the people, the washing, and then they entered into the tabernacle there. Okay? We're going to talk today mainly about the holy place. Okay? Mainly about the holy place. That first part. This part here. Okay? The first 30 feet of that. And inside there, you see that there is the lampstand, okay? And you see the altar of incense, and you see the table of showbread, okay? And we'll talk about these here in a minute. This particular, as we get into this, this lampstand was beaten out of one solid piece of gold. Imagine that. How much that would be worth in today's market, I don't know. The table of showbread is approximately the size of our communion table. Okay? So, and the altar of incense. So we'll talk about these things here in a moment. But what I'd like for us to do, now remember, how did we start the lesson? Saying all of this was a picture of Christ. Okay? The lampstand. Turn to John 12:46. John 12:46, and well, what does the Bible say? Jesus says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Okay? So Jesus is what? The light of the world. Verse 45. Somewhere else it goes on to say, "I am the light of the world." But anyway, Jesus is the light. Why did he come? To give us light. All right? Now think about it. There's 7 bowls filled with olive oil with burning there. And, you know, it's a 30 by 15 room, it probably wasn't real bright in there. Bright enough, okay? You know, I've never burned 7 bowls of olive oil before to see how bright that is, okay? And again, think about it. All that covering on the outside made it very waterproof, okay? And made it dark, you know, kept the sun out and whatnot, okay? So Jesus came to be the light of the world. What does it say in John 6:35? Okay? So Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the bread of the world. Isn't it interesting that there's light, there's bread? Well, what about the altar of incense? Okay? Does anybody know what that represents? Prayers. Okay? Where is it located? In the tabernacle, right before the veil. And what's behind that veil? The Holy of Holies. Okay? What does that represent for? What did that represent for the children of Israel? Who dwelt there? God. That was God's throne. Okay? Prayers. God's throne. Do you think that has any significance? I think so. Okay? Look with me at Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Okay? Now, what is Hebrews talking about? Prayer, right? And where? Prayer going where? To the very throne of God. Okay? And one more verse to look at, and then I'll make a few more comments. Ephesians 2:18. Okay? What do we have today, according to Ephesians 2, that the children of Israel didn't have? Direct access to the Father. Okay? Here is the altar of incense, representing prayers. Okay? Other things as well, and we'll get into that, but prayers. Here is the veil of the temple. Here's the veil of the going that leads into the Holy of Holies. God's throne, if you will, is behind that. What happened to this piece of material when Jesus died? It was ripped from the top to the bottom, right? And we have a new way into God, direct access, okay? So, and another thing we'll get into, not so much today, but we'll get into later. These are priests ministering, okay, in this holy place, okay? The high priest was only allowed behind that curtain and only allowed behind that curtain once a year. Okay? Jesus Christ is our high priest. There is no more curtain. And you and I, according to Peter and other verses, we are a kingdom of priests. Okay? So all of this pointed to Christ being the fulfillment of this. And we see how this is no longer needed. Somebody asked a question. I think it was last week. Somebody asked a question. How do Jewish people today, was that Barb? You asked that question, I think, didn't you? Somebody did. I don't remember. Asked the question. How do Jewish people have forgiveness today if there is no, you know? And I got to thinking about that question more this past week. God took away the temple, didn't he? The Jewish people have nothing for their forgiveness of sin because, why? Their Messiah came. Their Messiah died. They didn't accept him, so they are without excuse. Okay? So all of this points to Jesus Christ. So when John comes on the scene, John chapter 1, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The children of Israel who were paying attention would have understood what that meant. Okay? So, the holy place. Okay? Inside the candelabra, the table of showbread, the altar of incense. I don't know if it was that big. We'll see. Every day, the priest entered into the holy place to serve the Lord. Okay? The lights had to burn continually. All right? What happened when little Samuel came to the tabernacle? What happened to little Samuel? Who was the high priest at the time? Eli. And what went out on his watch? The light. Okay? And his sons were peaches too, so, you know. But inside were the table of bread, the seven-branched golden lampstand, the altar of incense in front of the veil that separated the holy place from the smaller area, the most holy place. So coals had to always be burning. Incense had to always be put on there. And we'll talk about each one of these here in a moment. Okay? The holy place, 15 by 30. And Exodus 26. Turn there with me, please. Verse 31. It says, "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen and cunning work. With cherubim shall it be made, and thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hook shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver, and thou shalt hang up the veil under the tackage, and that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, the candlestick over against the table on the other side toward the south. And thou shalt put the table on the north side. And thou shalt make a hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hanging five pillars of shittim wood, overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast five sockets of brass for them." So that's basically all the ingredients and whatnot that went into making it and the articles that were in it. Someone look at Hebrews 9:2 and read that for us. Then somebody else read verse 6. Keep a finger in Exodus. We'll be going back there. Okay, so here's what Paul is telling us in Hebrews. The first tabernacle, not meaning the first part of it, went in the priest daily to minister and was the candlestick, the altar and the table. Okay? Verse 6. Okay, so the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Okay? The service of God. So the golden lampstand or the candlestick, okay? Artist's rendition of what it may have looked like. And the lampstand provided light in this otherwise dark room. The priest trimmed the wicks to keep them burning brightly. And the lampstand or candlestick was made from a single piece of gold. It was not pieced together. Okay? The golden lampstand. It had a central shaft with six branches, three on each side. Okay? Making it a seven-branched lampstand. Each branch had knobs, flowers, and an almond-shaped bowl to hold pure olive oil. Does anybody know what particular type of olive oil was given for this? The very first press. Okay? The very first press. So the purest of oil was given for the service in the tabernacle. Okay? Much like today, you know, it talks about the first fruits of our labors and whatnot and giving the Lord that. Okay? And its size is unknown. Okay? Look up in Exodus 25. We were just, I think, in 26. In Exodus 25... I'll read 31 to 40. Thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knobs, his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side. Three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds with a knob and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knob and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knobs and their flowers. And there shall be a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, and knob on it accordingly. And these knobs and their branches shall be of the same, and it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, and they shall give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snuffers shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall it be made with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. So again, one beaten work. And the different things that were needed to trim the lamps, to put the lamps out when it was time to move the ark, okay, and whatnot. So, and Leviticus 24, much the same instructions, okay? Any questions on the table of showbread? I mean, on the light? Questions at all? How much, does anybody have a study Bible? What's a talent? The weight of a talent. Does anybody have that in a study Bible? You do. 58 pounds. Okay? It was made out of 58 pounds of gold. Okay? I don't know what that would be in today's market. A lot. Okay? Sandy, you had your hand up. People, commentators feel that reverts back to maybe creation, reminding them that God is light, give them creation, the seventh, you know, the day, the Sabbath, the day of rest. Okay? Now, don't think, many of you have seen a menorah for Hanukkah, and that has eight, okay? That's a totally, it still is a lampstand like that, but that has, because that represents when the temple was purified. So that's different. I think the symbol of Israel is the seven-branched lampstand. Okay? Good? All right. Very good. Good question. 58. Gold goes by the ounce. 50 to 80? Ooh. Oh, 50 to 80. What's in between 50 to 80? 65? Okay, Nathan, I have a project for you. Figure out a price of today's, this is for next week, today, ounce at today's price for an ounce and convert that into 65 pounds and to see how much that would be, okay? What it would be worth in today's market, okay? A lot. All right, table of showbread. All right, here's, and again, we said it was about as large as our communion table up there. All right, and on the table of showbread, the priest placed 12 loaves of bread made from fine flour, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. The loaves were a continual reminder of the everlasting promise between God and the children of Israel and a memorial of God's provision for food. Okay? So, the light representing God's creation and Him being light. The bread representing God's providing for them, His care for them. Okay? The bread was eaten by Aaron and his sons and was replaced every week on the Sabbath. So every Sabbath, new cakes were put there. And every Sabbath before the new cakes were put there, the priest, Aaron, the high priest, and his sons would eat the bread. Okay? Only them. The table of showbread was made of shittim or acacia wood. And it was overlaid with gold and had a crown or frame around it. And gold carrying poles were put through the rings on the corner of the table. Okay? Remember, it was portable. And there were certain people of the tribe of Levi that were allowed to move it when God, remember, when the cloud moved? Okay? Now, once the temple was built, and it was permanent, you know, things were not moved, but it was movable at that time, okay? There were also gold dishes, pans, pictures, and bowls. There were spices and whatnot that was put on the bread and olive oil for that. It was 36 by 18, Exodus 25 and Leviticus 24. So Exodus 25, look at verse 23. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of a handbreadth round about, and thou shalt make a gold crown to the border thereof round about, and thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staff to bear the table, and thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, spoons thereof, covers thereof, bowls thereof, to cover withal, of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set the table, set upon the table of showbread before me always. Okay? Now, isn't it interesting? It's made of wood and overlaid with gold. What can't you see? The wood. Okay? Okay, of course, the wood is there for strength. But now think about this. Is if everything is a picture of Christ, okay, what does wood overlaid with gold, what do you think it represents for us? Anybody? Okay. It does, but no. Right, deity, humanity and deity in one person. So one staff made of 2 things, you know. So his humanity and gold, of course, being deity. So this is what many of the, even the Jewish commentators and the commentators say for us. Okay? Yeah. Hebrews 9, we have already read that, but, you know, it mentions the priests going in there and doing that. Leviticus 24 talks about the priests eating that. Okay? The altar of incense, all right? The altar of incense. The priests burn incense on the altar of incense every morning and evening. The 4 corners of the altar had a horn, okay? and a crown or molding on the edge, as you could see. And once a year on the Day of Atonement, the horns of the altar were sprinkled with the blood of the sin offering by the high priest. The Lord required this special incense to be burned constantly on the altar of incense. It was a special sweet incense, a mixture of spices to be used only for the tabernacle. God specifically required this recipe. None other was to be burned on the altar. Turn to Leviticus 10. Something happened very early on. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Wow, pretty intense. And very early on. But what did this show them? That God was serious. Okay? There was a special incense that had to be made. And the recipe is in the Bible. And they offered strange fire. And they were struck dead. Okay? The altar of incense was also made of shittim wood covered with gold. It was a cubit by a cubit and 2 cubits high. Okay, and Exodus 30 talks about that. We won't, for sake of time, we won't read it because it just talks about that. You can read that on your own. Okay, the altar of incense. Here's something interesting. In Luke chapter 1, we won't read that whole account, but do turn to Luke chapter 1 for a minute. I want to show you something interesting. Now, remember, after the tabernacle was the temple, in particular, Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the history of Israel, after the 10 northern tribes had already been taken captive. The 2 remaining tribes of Judah and Benjamin, a few hundred years later, were taken captive by the Babylonians, and that temple was destroyed. Okay? And then Ezra comes and Zerubbabel, and they rebuild the temple. But in between the testaments, Herod builds the temple of Jesus' day. And it was huge, okay? But inside the temple was still the 45-foot, you know, holy place and holy of holies. It was monstrous all around it, okay? And inside Herod's temple was the table of showbread, the candlelight, and the altar of incense. And look what happens in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Okay, we won't, you know, of course he sees the angel. He's told that his wife is going to have a baby, which is going to be John the Baptist. But he was in there. It was his turn to do the altar of incense. Okay, so he was a priest. All right, and this is when the angel appeared to him. And the angel announced that God had heard Zechariah's prayer. And isn't that interesting? The altar of incense. He and his wife would have a son named John. And his name wasn't John the Baptist. They didn't name him John the Baptist. Okay, his name was John. And who would turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Okay? So next week, we will enter into the most holy place. Okay? Any questions, any thoughts, any comments, anything? Okay? Now, the interesting thing about this, okay, in the Old Testament, okay, economy, you and I could not enter into what we just saw. Okay? We could not enter into the holy place. And most of the children of Israel never saw what we saw an artist's rendition of. Okay? They saw the tent. They saw the cloud. They saw the altar, you know, outside, the brazen altar. But they weren't allowed in. Okay? And we're going to get even more restrictive next week as we go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest went in there. Okay? And but because the veil was torn and a new way, because of, you know, we now are priests, the Bible says. We're a kingdom of priests. We can minister to God. We have direct access to God. And that is because of the Lord Jesus. Turn to 1 Peter, and we'll close with this. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house." What's the next thing? A holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So here we see a building, a temple, if you will, right? And this temple, okay, is the church. And in the church, the habitation for God on earth, we are priests. We have a high priest. Look at verse 9 for our last verse. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." Now, that doesn't mean what it means today. It means a special people, okay? "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So all of this was a shadow of what was to come, okay? And today, we are blessed because we have direct access to God. And also, I really think it would have been a wonderful, wonderful thing to see the beauty of the tabernacle. I think it would have been a wonderful thing to see the beauty of Solomon's temple and even Herod's temple. But we have it so much better. We don't get to see. We actually get to serve. Okay? And when we went to Israel and when we went to Jerusalem, there was a model that was, the model was probably about the size of this church, and it was built of what first century Jerusalem would have looked like in Jesus's day. And the temple was just, of course, the centerpiece of the town, and it was huge, but most of it was built around this 45 by 15 section.